Lord, we pray that by word, by sacrament, enlivened by your Holy Spirit, you would fill us, feed us, guide us, give us life, we pray, that we could share that life with others. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the themes running throughout Scripture from beginning to end is promise and fulfillment. Promise and fulfillment. And so a question I have of you is, what are you waiting to be fulfilled in your life? What are you waiting for? Perhaps it's not marked in the calendar, but it's you carry it in a deeper place. You're waiting for fulfillment of a certain something. Maybe you're waiting to be healed. You're waiting to be free of that, whatever. And you sense that it might be a lifelong burden that you carry, but you're waiting for something to change, something to shift. You're waiting for salvation, perhaps, in an area of your life. Others may be waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. Maybe someone's made a promise to you. Maybe someone made a promise to you when you were a child, and it's not been fulfilled yet. And there's something in you that's still waiting, even though that person who made it might have died long ago. What is it about our hearts that are open to those things that even though our minds say they'll never come, likely never come? And so this time as we approach our season of Lent, which is a 40-day time of just slowing it down, keeping it simple, and asking God, like Simeon did, like Anna did, to bring the Holy Spirit, to bring God's word in a rich way, and to that we might see the salvation of God in little ways and big ways as we prepare and take time out for study, for reflection, for prayer, sometimes just doing less. Cutting out some screen time, perhaps. Cutting out something that we might enjoy that is not in any way bad for us, but we just give it up so that we have more time to not do anything. More time, perhaps, to pursue God, to read Scripture, to pray, simply to think and journal, whatever it is. It's about creating space in our lives. That's what I understand Lent to be. A time of waiting. A time to be more sensitive to the spring, to the buds. Has anyone seen a flower yet? See, some of us look for them. What's the first one? Snowdrops, right? They're easy. They even look like snowdrops. Some look for them, and so they see them. Other of us are oblivious to snowdrops. Couldn't really pick one out. And so we don't see them. And I think that is very much part of the readings today as well. What are you looking for? That's another way to frame the questions I've been asking. And do we have eyes to see the things that will bring us the greatest satisfaction? Is it a new release on Netflix? Is that what you're looking for? Not to say that's a bad thing, but friends, if that's really all you're looking for, that's pretty thin, don't you think? Can we look for something deeper, more enduring in terms of satisfaction? The last prophetic voice for 450 years was the prophet Malachi. I have an Italian friend who said he's the one Italian prophet, Malachi, but I don't think that's true. Malachi. So between Malachi and John the Baptist, there was no prophetic voice. So the last prophetic voice was talking about this messenger, to go and prepare a way before me, the messenger, the Messiah who was to come, who would bring satisfaction, yes, but would realign everything according to God's word, according to God's purposes. If anyone's had a realignment, it can be painful, can it? Something's wrong in your body, and so you go to the physiotherapist or you go to the doctor, and they say, oh, we need to do something about this. So to bring yourself back in alignment, perhaps it's after a broken limb. Perhaps it's after a surgery. It's painful to bring those things back into proper alignment. Emotionally, painful to get to a healthier place when you're used to defaulting to an unhealthy place. There is pain involved, real pain, either physical or psychic or emotional or spiritual. There is pain involved. There is suffering involved in getting healthy. And that's why Jesus became like one of us, endured suffering. He didn't read about it. He didn't go, "Father, what's suffering like? Can you just give me a little shorthand here before I go to earth?" No, he endured it. He felt it. He experienced it. And when he heard John the Baptist had died, he went away to a quiet place just to reflect. And his cousin, this co-worker in the gospel who was beheaded brutally. Jesus suffered on so many levels, suffered in ways that we suffer. And so he knows what it's like. Malachi also gives a warning, and I wonder if Simeon, how he dealt with this. Simeon focused on the promise that he would not die until he saw the salvation of God, and he knew that to be the Messiah. Anna could have probably said the same thing. To live to 84 in those days was like living to 130 now. Like, she lived a long time. She was waiting. She was waiting. She was looking. And she saw what she was looking for. But I bet both of them knew that the awaited Messiah would also be like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap, someone who washed clothes clean. And there's some violence in washing, is there not, if you want to get something clean? I mean, we have clothes washers, I realize that. But if you've ever hand washed something, like the collar of a shirt, have you ever done that? Trying to get it clean? You need to put a little elbow grease into it, do you not? A refiner's fire is even more intense because the heat of refining silver, you need to bring that heat right up. And then the impurities float to the surface and they're scraped off. Maybe that's the experience that some of us are experiencing, going through a very intense time. Might it be that God could use that as well to refine us, like a refiner's fire? Is it painful? Yes. Is it suffering? Is there suffering involved? Yes, there is. But perhaps we can see it from a different frame, that he is purifying us. He is working in us to be even more free. In the prophet Malachi, he is purifying the descendants of Levi. His descendants were the priests who served in the temple. And it's interesting, as we go through our cottage meetings, one of the questions, just so you know, is what are ways that we could strengthen this life that we share together? Would it be appropriate to pray that God's refining could come among us in power and make us more fitted for his purposes? Purify us. Help us to be truer in our faithfulness to God, and so be closer in our fellowship. God went to the heart of the Jewish faith at the time. He went to the Levitical priesthood and started the refining there. And so it just seems to me that God desires to refine in each of us our own hearts, as we prayed in the Collect for Purity, so-called in the Book of Common Prayer, but the Book of Alternative Services preserves that. We pray, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. God lays bare the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. And if we're keeping secrets, you realize how silly that is, right? We're in bondage to those secrets. We've just prayed, God, all desires are known to you. I open my heart to you. And from you, no secrets are hidden. And then we say, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. Cleanse our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. And there's power in that Holy Spirit. that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. And this is a prayer, I think, that we pray to the last breath we breathe. It's an ongoing work. And so none of us should be surprised at a brother or sister's confession of their struggles. None of us should go, really? No. It's like, oh yeah. You know, welcome. Welcome to the fellowship of people that are being refined. Refined by God. According to God's purposes, not just some random kind of rogue thing. We are refined according to God's purposes to bring God glory. The high priest, see, Jesus came as the high priest to model that priesthood to us all. He had to become a faithful high priest in the service of God to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people by his own blood. Every priest had to offer sacrifice before they went into the Holy of Holies, before they went into the temple to serve. They had to offer a sacrifice for their own sin to atone for it. Jesus had no sin. And so the blood that was shed to atone for sin was for the sin of the world, the perfect Lamb. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. So we have that side of life, and we all have known that life of enduring, of suffering, of sometimes the best we can do is just simply bearing up under. And then we have Simeon and Anna, who no doubt had their struggles. And yet we see a principle in the gospel that I think perhaps could help us all experience the joy that I believe both Simeon and Anna experienced. There's a song. It's called the Nunc Dimittis. It's part of our evening prayer in the Book of Common Prayer, and the choir is going to sing it following. Anyone who knows it is welcome to join in. It's Simeon's response to seeing the promise fulfilled as he went by the Holy Spirit, prompted by the Holy Spirit, to go into the temple at the very time when Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus to fulfill their obligations according to the law. It's very interesting if you look into it to see, well, what was required of a firstborn male for parents to come? And they offered the poor person's offering. There was sort of this sliding scale of offerings. Do you know what I mean? And they took the lowest on the scale, the most affordable, if you will. It was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, and that was enough. They fulfilled their vow. And then this super added response that God gave them. Simeon was a man that was righteous and devout, and he was looking for the consolation of Israel. That's all he was looking for. That's when he woke up in the morning, he was sensitive to God. When he went to bed at night, he prayed for the consolation of Israel. May you and I experience the consolation of God. May St. Cuthbert experience the consolation of God, walking in power, walking in humility, and ministering in Jesus' name. There's consolation there. It's interesting that the references to the law of Moses or to the law or to the word are many. And when Simeon sings, "Lettest thou thy servant depart in peace," do you know what the next phrase is? "According to thy word." The first time, it's according to the law of Moses. That's what guided Mary and Joseph. They brought him to the temple as it was written in the law of the Lord, the second reference. They offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, the third reference. The fourth was with regard to Simeon coming to the temple, encountering the parents who brought a sacrifice that was customary under the law, the fourth reference. And then Simeon's statement, according to your word, the fifth reference. So I believe to endure hardship and to experience the joy of fulfillment It's got to be according to his word. We need to know and to be in dialogue with God's word, the Bible. It's a living word, so it's more than just print, but it sure starts there. So to read God's word, I'm going to put out a challenge for Lent. To memorize a chapter of the Bible, Isaiah 53. And we'll have it printed up, but you have access to that. Isaiah 53, any translation. Take 40 days to memorize it. And on Good Friday, there'll be opportunity for you to recite. If it's not in front of a crowd, that's fine. But to recite that, a chapter of the Bible. You tuck it in your heart, it'll be with you forever. Isaiah 53, that's one of my challenges. According to your word. Now, the other part that I find interesting, it's three times the Holy Spirit's mentioned. So it's the word enlivened by the Holy Spirit, brought home by the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through his word by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit rested on him, Simeon. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple just when Mary and Joseph were there. Some people call things like that coincidences. Simeon calls them a God incidence, a Holy Spirit incidence. How about you? Do you experience that in your life? Where God orchestrates things that no one else could. Absolutely no one else could. Let's not call them coincidences any longer. Let's call them God incidences. God has worked this out. God is at work beyond anything that we can ask or imagine. He goes ahead of us, he follows us, he's to our side, he's protecting us, he's providing for us according to his word. And I believe those two things go together, according to his word and guided by the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, I understand we receive the Holy Spirit when we receive Jesus. That's my understanding. There could be a super added gifting of the Holy Spirit, but we receive the Spirit when we receive Jesus Christ and humble ourselves and ask him to come in. We ask for help. He is the salvation and consolation of Israel and to be a light to lighten the Gentiles for the entire world. So to say I need saving is just being consistent with what God says we need. We need saving. Boys and girls, men and women. Simeon's response is in song, and I love it. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Serve him with mirth, his praise forth tell. I love that. I bet Simeon and Anna serve the Lord with mirth. With mirth. A couple weeks ago, we honored Athene McDuff. She served and headed up the coffee group for 25 years. And her last words as she walked out, she goes, "It's been so much fun." She serves with mirth. It's a beautiful quality. I believe it's a spirit-infused quality. Some of us are waiting to get better. Some of us are waiting to forget. Some of us are waiting for something that we're not even sure about. Is it according to God's word? Because when it is, then we can bring it before God and say, "God, I am waiting. And I want to be like Simeon. I want to see that thing, but I give it to you. I want to be like Anna. Give me the years long enough to see my kids come to you, to see my child's marriage healed." Whatever it is, nothing's too great for God. And God is not surprised. Because this great high priest has become one of us. Because he was tested by what he suffered, he's able to help those who are being tested. This was the one promised, and this is the one who has come according to his word.